Coming up on today's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast, the AFC and NFC championship games are set. Something that I already believed was confirmed over the weekend. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more. It's all coming up on Monday's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast, January 23rd, 2023.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Win. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Just win. Your team just every win. Day.
Just win.
You ought to win as a Raider. Pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
And welcome in, Raider Nation, to another edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast. Thank you so much for making the show your first listen each and every day. Remember, you can find the Locked On Raider podcast free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. Thanks to my man Ari, doing a great job each and every day, making sure we're up on YouTube. We're looking good on YouTube and looking the best that he can make this look, because I say it all the time. I'm a podcast guy. I'm a radio guy. I am not a camera or TV guy, but here we are, right? So it's 2023. We're on YouTube, and we are because of my man Ari again on Twitter, as you can find him anytime at Ari Produces. Today's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast is presented by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. You pick 2 to 5 players that they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection. You can win up to 10 times your money on your entry. First-time users can receive 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com. Promo code Locked On. Many thanks to everyone who reached out over the weekend in response to Friday's show. I'm glad that so many people took it and appreciated it. You never really know how that's going to go, because some people want the main thing to be the main thing, and I get that, right? You know, hey, talk about the Raiders, talk about the Raiders, don't talk about nothing else. And that's okay. It is the Locked On Raiders podcast. I get it. But with so many people reaching out and saying how much they appreciated Friday's show, that means a lot to me. It means a lot to the family. It means a lot to me. But also to know that, you know, maybe the conversation that we had on Friday's show could help just even one person, that makes it all worth it. So definitely appreciate everyone who reached out, and definitely wasn't able to respond to everyone who reached out, and got a ton of calls and texts that obviously I won't be able to get all on the show, but please believe they did not go unnoticed or unheard. I definitely thank you for that. So let's go ahead and jump into news and notes here in segment number one, as I always do. And off top, Derek Carr, who's still currently the Raiders quarterback, right? I mean, they have that February 15th date that we continue to watch and monitor and see what's going to happen, which obviously means sooner rather than later, something's going to happen, right? He tweeted out and said, thank you to all the people reaching out, trying to give me their platform to tell my side of what happened. It's the hardest thing in the world not to jump on every interview and tell the whole truth. Thank you, but I'm choosing to move on and give our next city our best. So that was DC on Twitter. And again, just like his goodbye statement that he made, I felt like it was going to be exactly that when he made a statement, you know, because he's always going to keep it classy. He's not going to be one of those dudes that are going to take, you know, fire shots at the organization or anything like that. He's always going to keep it on the real. So, I mean, right there, he's just saying, hey, I got to make sure that I take care of what I got to take care of, and I move on to the next city. And again, that February 15th date is obviously a date to pay attention to, because that's going to kind of determine what's going to happen. If there's going to be something happens on the trade front, or if they're going to have to flat out release Derek. Now, it's funny because with that statement from Derek on Twitter, David on Thursday, his brother, you know, he had already put out a statement or a video on Twitter about a week ago saying that they were going to do a podcast and he was going to tell the all end all be all of everything that happened in Vegas. And he's not really taking the same high road as his brother Derek is. And I get it. I mean, that's his older brother. So on Thursday, he actually came out, and this is from Harvester Sports, and did a video basically saying, yeah, we're going to do a podcast. We're going to talk about everything that happened, but we're just going to have to wait a little bit. So here's David Carr from Thursday.
Hello, fans of Harvester Sports. There's been a long awaited podcast that we've talked about doing for several weeks now. And yes, we do have a ton of fun content. But look, let's be honest, it's my brother, and he's going to go find another job. He's going to try and play quarterback in the NFL again with another team. And right now, it's a little touchy, okay? There's some things going on. They're trying to work a trade. Derek has to accept the trade. Mark Davis tried to trade me once. That didn't work out. See how it works out for him with my brother. Saying all that, yes, eventually, we'll shoot a podcast. It'll be fun. We'll dig into what all went wrong and that enjoyable season that we all got to enjoy together on the couch in the stadium. Depressed, excited at times, but left a little bit unsatisfied. I know the Raider fans are excited to dig into this, to learn about what happened inside the walls in Las Vegas. We're excited to tell you, but I think we're going to have to wait a little bit, right? If you really think about it, pause the video, think about it, right? You'd wait a little bit. We're going to wait. Okay, we're going to wait. Derek's going to find a new team. The Raiders are going to move on. The Raiders will have a new quarterback. Maybe it's Tom Brady. That was exciting, right? You guys enjoyed that the other day? That'd be fun. You guys do great. So we'll talk about that. We'll dig into it. And we'll see what happens after the dust settles. But just got to wait a little bit longer. Thanks.
So there you go. At some point, they'll put it out there on Harvester Sports. And, of course, that's the family of the cars. I believe that's David's sons or Derek's nephews. I'm not exactly sure of the relation, but I know that they're all related. And that's a hell of a platform for them, man. You know, and so I guarantee you that when they do take to the podcast and start talking, whenever that case may be, it's going to be something to pay attention to. And, you know, I'll let you know when it's out or when I see it and it's out, I'll let you know. And I'm sure there's a lot of Raider fans that'll want to hear what David and Derek both have to say. Speaking of Derek Carr and the quarterback situation, when it comes to Aaron Rodgers, when it comes to Tom Brady, when it comes to Derek Carr, Adam Schefter over the weekend was on ESPN's NFL Live, and he was talking about the scenario for all of those quarterbacks involved right there, Rodgers, Brady, and Carr. This is what Adam Schefter had to say.
This will be the third straight offseason in which Aaron Rodgers' future is the subject of much speculation. But make no mistake, both sides are fully aware that a trade is a very real scenario this offseason for Aaron Rodgers. The Packers are expected to move on from certain players, which Aaron Rodgers probably will not like. The issue here will be the $110 million left on his contract and which team could afford it. But there is a real possibility that at some point this offseason, Aaron Rodgers is going to be traded. Meanwhile, Tom Brady's taking his time to make a decision. No one knows exactly what he's going to do yet, but also after last offseason when word leaked about his retirement, his circle is tightened as to what he will and won't do this offseason. If he does play, there will be personal and professional considerations to take into account. Tom Brady is expected to want to play for a winning franchise if he does decide to continue moving forward. As for Derek Carr, he is expected to be traded at some point this offseason, and as usual with quarterbacks, the demand exceeds the supply. The entire NFC South is expected to be in the market for a new quarterback. The Jets, the Commanders, the Colts, the Texans. There are so many teams that need quarterbacks, which elevates the value of Carr. And that is why at some point this offseason, earlier rather than later, he is expected to be traded.
So there you go. There's been plenty of reports over the weekend as well that Tom Brady is not going to be returning to Tampa Bay, which I think is a no-brainer. Kind of knew that already. Of course, Derek Carr, he's saying that he's going to probably get traded sooner rather than later. And the thing about it is you literally have to take a team's word for it. A team can say, hey, we're going to make that trade, and then they have till March 15th to back out. And if they back out, then the Raiders are stuck holding the bag. So you really got to feel good about the relationship you have with whoever decided that they're going to make a trade. But according to Schefter right there, it sounded like that there's going to be a trade that's going to be agreed on pretty soon. And the thing about it is if there's multiple teams that really want him, then there's a potential. And for him, if it makes more sense, that's the thing about it. Like I keep telling everybody when they ask me, is he going to get traded or not? I'm like, if it makes sense for him. If it's the contract that he wants, he gets to okay everything. He's got the no trade clause. So if he can get more money by getting a trade and approving a trade, then he will. If he can get more money by being released and then just going about his business and signing with whoever he wants to, then he will. Whatever he feels is best for him is what he's going to do, and that's what he should do. He's earned that. At the very end of the day, he's definitely earned that. So my final little soundbite that I have for you for segment one of today's Locked On Raiders podcast news and notes, Michael Jannetty from Spotrac.com. He was on my radio show on Friday, and the first thing we asked about was Aaron Rodgers' contract. And, you know, we talked about that with Peter Bukowski on Thursday, and Peter's the host of Locked On Packers, asking if Peter thought that the contract was tradable. Well, here's Michael Jannetty from Spotrac.com, who does all things contracts and all that good stuff, and his website's a really good go-to website as far as a salary cap and all that good stuff. So here's Michael Jannetty on Aaron Rodgers' contract, if he feels that is tradable, and then there's a couple follow-ups as well.
Yeah, it's movable. It was always sort of a one-year deal, and then, you know, we'll have these options. So the Packers sort of played this right from a let's try to keep this and run this back for one more season, and I actually think trading that contract right now is in their best interest. So they're going to get socked with a $40 million dead cap hit, but there's way worse options that could play out here. So it's tradable. To me, the question with this contract is there a team out there that wants to pay Aaron Rodgers $60 million cash this year? Because that's what's coming over with it for 2023.
So the cash is a lot, like you mentioned, but what's the cap hit for that salary?
Yeah, it's in the low 30s, so it's super tenable. You can't restructure it. That's the other problem. Mm. This is the bonus system. It's a double bonus, really. There's a bonus this year. There's a bonus next year. So you're going to get socked with dead cap down the road no matter what you do here, and you're going to have to live with some high cap hits. But that's sort of the price to pay to get Aaron Rodgers for 1, 2, 3 years here.
So when you look at it, do you think that that would affect the draft capital that would have to go back and return to Green Bay? Like, okay, well, there's this big contract coming this way, so maybe that can lessen the trade value, or is it still Aaron Rodgers is going to be a pretty hefty draft capital?
You know what? I do feel that way. I do feel like teams could have some leverage here because the alternative is that Green Bay has to keep a player who doesn't want to be there and have basically $90 million guaranteed over the next two seasons. So the Packers have to sort of give a little bit to get him off the books if he doesn't want to be there. So there's a chance that that's one, maybe one less draft pick than what Aaron Rodgers on the open market could sort of get here.
Michael Jannetty from Spotrac.com is our guest here on Raider Nation Radio 920 Unnecessary Roughness. DeMond's got one for you.
This may be a silly question, but explain it to me like I'm five.
If
you were to get Aaron Rodgers, we always hear about void years on contracts. Why couldn't you just add a couple more void years and kick the can down the road a little longer?
Yeah, the problem is this. This isn't a base salary contract. This was a signing bonus with an option bonus with another option bonus. So everything's already spread out on this thing. Now, you could get him to sit down and rewrite this thing a little bit, but that's way, way easier said than done. Look, here's the deal. He built this contract to be as rock-solid, player-friendly as humanly possible. He knew exactly what he was doing. And this is Aaron Rodgers. This is what he's done now for 8, 9 years. He's got all the leverage. He knows it. And he has built that into his contract. So, unfortunately, there's really nothing that a team can do otherwise outside of saying, here's your cash. Go out there and play football.
So, there you go right there. Michael Jannetty, Spotrac.com, talking about Aaron Rodgers' contract and how it is very tradable. And if there's any time to trade him, it would be right now. So, I think that it's a quarterback that remains in play for the Raiders. I've said it multiple times. I prefer him over Tom Brady, but I know that Tom Brady is cleaner. And what I mean by that is he would be a free agent signing, and that's it. It would be no draft capital, and it wouldn't be a massive hit to the salary cap. And, you know, you heard Michael Jannetty talk about $60 million in cash, not salary cap space, but cash by the way that Rodgers structured that deal. So he made it very friendly for him. So if the Raiders were to try to acquire him, it would still take a massive hit. So as far as just, you know, the cleanliness of it, Brady would be the cleanest. It's just sign him to a deal. With Rodgers, you'd have to obviously go out and make a trade, and it would be a big cap hit. So that's that. And then there's always other. And other is, well, whatever else the Raiders could come up with. But that's all I got for you for segment number one of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. News and notes of the day. Coming up in segment number two, the AFC and NFC championship games are set. What I learned, or not even what I learned about it, what I was confirmed of as I watched all the games all weekend long, it just kind of confirmed what I already believed. We'll talk about that coming up in segment number two after I tell you about the title sponsor, which is Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made simple. You pick 2 to 5 players. If they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 10 times your money on any entry. There's no competing against other people. It's just you versus the projections available. And Prize Picks offers projections in everything. NFL, NBA, NHL, PGA, college hoops, women's college hoops, whatever the case may be, WNBA, that's about to start back up. It's around the corner. Every sport that's out there, they've got you covered. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy, safe and fast withdrawals, and it's currently operational in over 30 states and in Canada. What do you have to do? Well, download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. You deposit $100, Prize Picks will give you $100. You deposit $50, you guessed it, Prize Picks will give you $50. Don't forget to enter the promo code Locked On at sign up for an instant deposit match up to $100.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we go. Segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. What did I learn over the weekend, or what was kind of confirmed to me over the weekend, which is what I already believed? Well, it's real simple, Raider Nation. If you paid attention to the games, see how they were won or lost, and even saw the teams that were playing over the weekend, defense is a must. I know we're spending a lot of time with the quarterback position when it comes to the Raiders, and we should because, well, the first time in forever since I've covered the Raiders, they're in need of a quarterback. So that's a first for me, right? Obviously, it's not the first time they've needed a quarterback in the time that I've been a fan of the team. But as far as covering the team professionally, this is the first time there's ever been a quarterback search. So this is something new. So obviously, that's going to get the headlines every day of the week and twice on Sunday. That's going to be the most important thing. But man, as you look at the playoffs and you want the Raiders to be a playoff team next year, matter of fact, I almost feel like Josh McDaniels has to be a playoff head coach next year. I really do. And I know there's circumstances that go into that that, you know, maybe changes that scenario later on down the road. But after winning six games his first year, you feel like there's got to be a drastic improvement in year two, or there may not be a year three. But getting back to what I saw over the weekend, defense, defense, defense. They always say defense wins championships. People get tired of hearing that. I know the NFL puts up a bunch of numbers. There's a lot of scoring. Everyone likes to see the deep ball. Everyone likes to see the you know, the skill players do what they do. But at the end of the day, it all boils down to defense. You've got to have defense to get it done. Something that the Raiders have not had. They haven't fielded a really good defense in a very long time. Matter of fact, the last time the defense was even worth a salt, in my opinion, was 2016. And it wasn't even that good then. They just created a bunch of turnovers, which helps. That's, I mean, it's just that simple. But you look at the defenses that played and won this past weekend. Let's start with the Eagles. They whooped the Giants 38-7. Everyone's going to look at that 38 score, right? As I said, I even emphasized it, 38-7. Everyone's going to look at that. But Philly sacked Daniel Jones five times, and they caused multiple turnovers, and they made life miserable for Brian Daboll and company. And the thing about it is, they were fantastic. The Eagles had 70 sacks as a team over the course of the 2022 season. Four guys had double-digit sacks. Can you imagine that? The Raiders had one guy with double-digit sacks, 12 and a half with Max Crosby, and that's it. They had 70 sacks. The Raiders barely had over 20. I mean, that's, and look, I know that's one extreme to the other, but that's what they've got to strive for. They've got to strive, and I get it. That's what they tried to do by bringing in Chandler Jones. They thought that they were going to get another guy that was going to give them double-digit sacks, or at least close to it. It didn't work out that way, but it just lets you know where the improvement needs to come from. Max is fine. The interior of that defensive line has got to be a lot better. The outside, the other edge, the bookend from him has got to be better. Matter of fact, my man Damon on Friday on the radio show said he didn't even think Chandler Jones should be a starter next year, that they need to improve whoever the bookend is from Max Crosby. It can't be Chandler Jones because he just doesn't have enough left in the tank to be that kind of a guy. And you know what? I don't really disagree with him. So the Raiders obviously have to improve their defense, and it starts up front with that defensive line. There's other areas as well. I'd love to see a corner, a shutdown corner, you know, like a real legit shutdown corner. I had a lot of high hopes for Nate Hobbs. Felt like he took a step back. I know he was injured quite a bit in 2022, but felt like he took a step back. I'd like to have a real deal corner where you could say, yeah, that's the guy, right? That's a really good guy. And then maybe the other guy across from him, like maybe a Nate Hobbs, is not quite on his level, but he's still good, if that makes it. Like, you don't want Nate Hobbs to be your best corner. I think that's what I'm trying to say. So the Eagles whooped up on the Giants. And really, I know the score is 38-7, but man, that defense is what made it all happen. Kansas City, they topped the Jaguars. The storyline out of that game, Mahomes getting injured, of course, right? But really, couple sacks for the defense, multiple quarterback hits, tackles for loss, had an interception. Again, even when Mahomes was hobbled, how did the Chiefs stay ahead of the Jaguars? Defense, defense, defense. Now, of course, it's going to be a little bit different because Mahomes is going to be the key in that, and it's always going to be the key moving forward because he's that stinking good. But ultimately, man, they make life difficult on the Jaguars, Trevor Lawrence and company, because the defense was able to hang in there and do just enough. They probably had the worst defense out of all the teams that won this this past weekend, and that defense wasn't even that bad. Moving on to Sunday, the Bengals beat Buffalo, and it wasn't even close in that game, right? It really wasn't. Again, defense shine. Josh Allen looked super uncomfortable throughout the course of the game. Sacked two times, threw an interception. Let's put it like this. Stephon Diggs, all-world Stephon Diggs, had four catches for 35 yards. You imagine that? That's it. Four catches, 35 yards. The Bengals were in Allen's lunch all game long. You could see how uncomfortable he was. It's funny. I was doing ESPN national radio show. I was doing prime time with Orlando Franklin and Michael Rothstein, and I kept saying, fellas, it feels like this game should be a blowout at this point, and it was actually still kind of close, even though they ended up losing by, 27-10? But it just felt like it was never close. It felt like the Bengals went in there, handled their business, but more importantly, they were able to stop anything that Buffalo wanted to do, and they rattled Josh Allen all day long. Again, defense, defense, defense. Now they're going to travel to Kansas City, and I think they're winning that game. I know it's only Monday, but based off of Mahomes being hobbled and Cincinnati looking that good, I think Cincinnati's playing in Arizona on February 12th. I really do. I think that they're punching their ticket to the Super Bowl. And I'll say this. I talked about the Eagles already, and I know we'll get to the 49ers. I think the Eagles are going to be in the Super Bowl as well. The Eagles and the Chiefs are, or excuse me, Eagles and the Bengals are the two teams I'm picking to go to the Super Bowl and play February 12th in Arizona. But let me go ahead to go to the 49ers. They topped Dallas, and this game was different because both teams' defense were really good, right? This Dallas defense made Brock Purdy look like, okay, maybe he really is a seventh-round pick. Like, he looked uncomfortable, but they did enough to win the game 19-12. Dak, again, threw a couple picks. Why? Because San Francisco's defense is so strong. But it was a defensive struggle, or it was an offensive struggle. Both defenses really handled their business all game long. And, I mean, at some point, the defenses made the game boring because it seemed like nobody was going to be able to score. Late in the game, finally San Francisco was able to run the ball a little bit better, but I mean, again, Brock Purdy just looked like, ho-hum. And that's why I say I think Philadelphia is going to beat the 49ers. I don't think the 49ers or Dallas could beat Philly. Philly looks so stinking good, but being able to put up all those points and play defense like that, good luck, Brock Purdy. I think that Eagles defense is going to hand him his lunch money, right? They're going to hand it to him and say, this ain't enough, bro. You better go back and find some more money. This ain't going to work, right? I mean, they're going to eat him alive, I think, right? But the 49ers defense will keep him in the game. That's the one thing about it. So, again, the defense. So, if you're Dave Ziegler, you're Champ Kelly, you're Joshua Daniels, yeah, you got to get the quarterback position figured out for sure. That's a no-brainer. Whatever they're going to do, they got to do. But if they fail to put out a really good defense, at least put out some real good talent on the field this upcoming year on the defensive side of things, then they've completely failed. And I don't know why it's taken so long for the Raiders to realize that they need a better defense. I guess they always thought that they can outscore other teams. And that's just, I mean, it's cute to be able to outscore a team in September and October. That's fine. But when push comes to shove late November, December, and obviously the first week of January, you've got to be able to stop someone, right? You got to be able to have a defense that can stop a 98-yard drive from happening. That's a win. You've got to be able to go into the locker room at up 20-0 and be able to stop a team from coming back and winning. Now, I say in that game against Arizona, the offense should have scored a little bit more. You know, they should have been able to put up 7 to 10 more points. But even then, the defense should have had enough juice going coming out of the locker room like, hey, man, we're pitching a shutout, right? I mean, there should have been a sense of pride that, hey, we could pitch a shutout here or whatever. This is our best defensive approach. They allowed Davis Mills and the Texans to put up a whole bunch of points. I mean, there's just too many times they allowed teams to do more than they should have. Right? I mean, it's got to be corrected. And they need defense on all levels of the defense. Defensive line, linebackers, corners, safeties. I mean, they really need, I would say probably, honestly, no joke, probably at least 5 quality players added to the defensive side. Maybe 5 starters, right? You need a big-time defensive tackle. I would say at least one more edge rusher that you can lean on. At least one more linebacker, a corner, and a safety. So I would say there's at least 5 guys that probably need to be starters next year that they don't have on their team right now. And that's a lot. That's a lot of new talent on the defensive side of things. But they need to put that much effort into it and address it that much. Because if not, man, they're going to be in a world of hurt again. I mean, it's just that simple. So defense wins championships, and that's what you saw all weekend long. Now you got Kansas City hosting Cincinnati and Philly hosting San Francisco, and I believe Cincinnati and Philly move on to be in the Super Bowl. So we'll see what ends up happening. But, yeah, that's how I feel on this Monday, January 23rd. That's all I got for you. Segment number 2 of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Coming up in segment number 3, going to get to your calls and text straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. Before we get to that, though, I do want to let you know and tell you about our exciting new partner that we have here on the Locked On Podcast Network, and that's our sports betting partner, FanDuel, the number one sports book in America. And if you're new to FanDuel, it's even better. They have so many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. New customers, join today to get started with $150 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Just sign up at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. FanDuel.com/LockedOn. FanDuel has all your favorite bets from the money line to point spreads to player props. Plus, you can even combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with the same game parlay. all on the apps that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. So football fans, sports fans, don't miss out. Place your first $5 bet to get $150 in free bets, win or lose, at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Again, FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment your moment with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Here we go, Raider Nation. Segment number three of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Your calls and text straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. Let's start things off with Raider Fat in Oregon. He's calling to talk about Friday's show and why it meant so much to him. Plus, he shares his own story with a great call. Really good call. Here it is. Raider Fat in Oregon.
Hey, Q. It's your boy, Raider Fat, here out of Oregon. And I just listened to your podcast, man. And, you know, I've been listening since 2018, and you know, I've always heard about your son and all of that, and you know, I can't tell you how sorry I am and how much it's always meant to me, how you always have never shied away from sharing how you felt. But I just wanted to share this with you. You don't need to put this on the podcast at all if you don't want to. I just wanted to call and let you know that just recently I had lost one of my close friends. I lost him in a car accident, and just listening to your podcast today, Q, I can't express enough how much I appreciate you. You know, not just your content for the Raiders. I mean, that's beautiful. That's awesome. We're here for the Raiders. But I mean, when I tune into this podcast every day, Q, I don't just turn in for the Raiders. I turn in for you, and I turn in for episodes like this. So when you say, you know, some people might not like this, I don't know, this is why I've been listening for so long, Q, is episodes like this, episodes that really put things in perspective. You know, I'm only 21, so I'm still growing and I'm still learning in this world. And Q, I gotta say right now that podcast just meant the world to me and put a lot of things in perspective, you know, going through something similar. And you know, he wasn't my son, he was my friend, but still, you know, it hurts all the same. And knowing that I could have said goodbye, I could have had that chance, you know, I'm sorry, Q, I don't mean to. I'm really emotional after listening to that podcast. That came out of left field for me, Q, but I don't want to take up too much of your time. I know you're a busy man, but I had to call in, and I just had to tell you how much of that episode meant to me. And I hope you're doing better, Q. You know, God bless you. God bless your son, and God bless your family, Q. Don't stop what you're doing. Keep it going, Q. I love you so much, brother. But anyway, I'll let you get back to it, Q. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you so much for the call, my man. I'm so sorry for your loss as well. And that's the thing, right? It doesn't matter if it's your son, your friend, your loved one, whatever the case may be, someone that you know, it hurts, right? It always does. And I share my story and share my son's story because I kind of feel like it's my responsibility to share it, right? If I could talk about the Raiders all day, or I could talk about sports all day, or do this and that and the other, I should be able to share my son's story. And if I can't share my son's story, then I'm doing him a disservice. Not to mention, hopefully, you know, it means something to somebody. As I started off the show, if I can share a story and it means something to one person, it makes them either feel better about their situation, or, you know, lets them know that, hey, there's someone else out there like you. You know, you're not the only one. You're not alone. Then I feel like I've done my job and I feel like I've succeeded. So I'm glad that you know, that the show meant a lot to you. I do appreciate you, you know, with the feedback and everything. And I think that's really cool. So thank you again for the call. Again, sorry for your loss and everything. And you know, sometimes just talking about it makes it feel a little bit better. So thank you again for your call. Next up, I got a text from Jimmy S. in Houston. He said, Q, I've been checking out more video of Anthony Richardson, and I'm starting to think that might be the best choice for the Raiders. You might even be able to trade back to the middle of the first round to pick up an extra second rounder. If the Raiders bring in Tom Brady, let him carry the position for 2 years with insurance by bringing back Stidham, they'll have time to develop Richardson, who reminds me a little of Mahomes. And they'll still have a lot of draft picks for developing the O-line and the defense. What do you think? That's Jimmy S. in Houston. And I don't know. It's really a big gamble, my man. I appreciate the text, but I feel like it's a big gamble. I feel like Anthony Richardson is the biggest boom or bust prospect out there. And I just don't know. And I know sometimes you've got to roll the dice. You got to gamble, right? I mean, hell, I live in Las Vegas, so I get it, right? Scare money don't make money. Sometimes you got to roll the dice on that guy that you could think could be that generational talent. But man, if they miss and they miss bad, look, there's a situation where, if they draft him and he's got to sit for 2 years, worst case scenario, they might not even get an opportunity to coach him, right? I mean, think about it. If they don't have a massive improvement in 2023, they might not be around too long to coach him up. So, I mean, there's so many different elements in play. I hate to say, like, you better go with the safer pick. I just feel like there's so much, like, bust screaming towards Anthony Richardson. Like, he's a hell of an athlete, a hell of a football player, but I just don't know if he's a franchise quarterback, if that makes sense. It's just, again, he makes me a little bit nervous. But thank you for the text, and I can see, you know, it's easy to fall in love with the intangibles and what he brings to the table. But, you know, there's a plenty of time between now and draft time, so we'll obviously get a lot more familiar with one Anthony Richardson, as well as, you know, Bryce Young, as well as C.J. Stroud, as well as Will Levis, you know, and other guys. I mean, there's multiple other guys that we'll be paying attention to. So definitely appreciate your call, my man, or your text. Next up, I do have a call from Jazzy Jeff in the Bay. He's calling to talk about the quarterback position and has a suggestion of a quarterback that none of us are talking about. Here he is, Jazzy Jeff in the Bay.
What up, Q? What up, Q? This your boy, Jazzy Jeff in the Bay. Yo, so like the past week or two, we all been talking about Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Lamar Jackson, Jimmy G, et cetera, et cetera. What about Trey Lance from the San Francisco 49ers? What if the Raiders traded for him? How would you feel about that? All right. Let us know on the podcast. By the way, this is a guy that broke the news about Baltimore Ravens. Alex Leatherwood finally put a voice to it. Q, to verify that this is me, you end up sending me a text message talking about spot on the day that Alex Leatherwood got drafted. All right, y'all. Go Raiders.
Thank you for the call, my man. It's good to hear from you. And believe me, I remember exactly who you were. I talk about you on my radio show all the time. The guy who said Alex Leatherwood was going to be the pick. The guy who told me that the Ravens were going to be the first game on Monday Night Football. Oh, I'll never forget you, man. You were calling your shot a long time ago, so I definitely appreciate that. Trey Lance, he's interesting, right? He's interesting to me because nobody knows anything about him, right? I mean, who is he? I don't know if he's good. I don't know if he's bad. I don't know if he's okay. We just don't know. We haven't seen enough from him. And San Francisco, in my opinion, is in a really weird spot with them, you know, because of the big unknown. They gave up so much to get him, and who knows if they're even going to get anything out of him for it, right? Now they got Brock Purdy. Jimmy G is going to be gone. We know that. Jimmy G will go sign with someone. I think he's going to sign with the Jets. And then maybe Trey Lance and Brock Purdy battle it out in camp. Maybe they decide to move on. Maybe Tom Brady ends up in San Francisco. I don't see that, but maybe he does. I don't know. It's such a weird situation. Like, I think San Francisco's got a weird case on their hands because they gave up so much to move up and go get Trey Lance, but yet they've gotten nothing out of Trey Lance. So thank you so much for that call. We'll do a little bit of research into Trey Lance and see what, you know, some 49er guys have to say about that situation. But thank you so much for your call. It's good to hear from you, my man. Up next, got a text from Day-Day in San Antonio. It says, AQ, it's Day-Day from San Antonio. Is there any free agent DBs you're interested in? Depending on if McVay and Aaron Donald retire, I wouldn't see why Jalen Ramsey would want to stay. Would trading for Ramsey interest you or free agent like James Bradbury, et cetera? And loving the YouTube version. Keep on hustling. That's Day-Day in San Antonio. Thanks for the text. And I don't know, man. I don't know about the free agent defensive backs. You know, like, I know Marcus Peters is out there. James Bradbury, I know, is probably going to be out there. But he was the guy I wanted the Raiders to go get last year. And they didn't. They didn't want to pay the money that the Eagles went and paid him. And he had a really good season with the Eagles. Now, as I mentioned earlier in segment number two, I said the Eagles had 70 sacks. That's going to make the defensive back's job a whole lot easier by having a line, a defense that can get 70 sacks. It's going to make you a much better corner. So I don't know if they're going to go after a guy like Bradbury. Ramsey would definitely interest me. I just don't know what it would cost. Right, I just don't think that the Raiders can afford just to make a bunch of different trades because right now they have a nice amount of draft capital. You don't want to just give it all up because you're looking to make some trades. They do need a corner. And as I mentioned before, they need a shutdown corner. One guy that they can feel real comfortable with, like, yeah, that's the dude. There's no doubt about it that that's the guy. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see about the free agent corners. I mean, we'll dive into all that, man. We're going to dive into free agents, the best free agents out there. I'm hoping that the Raiders don't go crazy and just try to sign as many guys as possible to immediately fix the problem. I think they need to really dip into the draft and address a lot of the defensive issues with guys in the draft. The problem is they've got to be able to hit. They've got to find the guys that are the right picks and then draft them and then let them shine. And the one thing is, we could say that we know very well that they're looking for guys with a bunch of versatility. So if there's guys out there that are versatile and can play multiple roles, then you probably have a Dave Ziegler slash Champ Kelly slash Josh McDaniels type of player on your hands. So thank you for that text, Day-Day. I appreciate you. Next up, got a call from Pride and Poise in the 925. He's calling to talk about the quarterback position. And not only that, but other areas of concern for the team. Pretty detailed call here. Pride and Poise in the 925.
Hi, Q. It's Pride and Poise from the 925. Do appreciate everything you do for us, especially during this period of time here for Raider Nation. I got to tell you, the last 2 weeks, it's been incredibly frustrating listening to the podcast. I think you nailed it, and several of the listeners nailed it. The problems that we've had have been the lack of draft choices or draft choices that have not gone well. And our D and O-line have been the real problems here. And yet, beside all that, there's still people that come on the podcast and say, you know, DC only took us to two playoff games. It's kind of obvious. I'm with you on this. I think, you know, we need to get past DC. I don't feel sorry for him, and no one should. I mean, the guy's got a great life, and he's got a great future ahead of himself. But I am sorry for Raider Nation. I think Ziegler and McDaniels put us in a real tough position here, adding QB to the list of problems that we've got. So what's the plan? I mean, they must have a plan. Wright Stidham? No. Rodgers? Come on. Garoppolo? No way. Mac Jones? Come on. Jesus. You know, and drafting a quarterback, I just don't see that as the solution. I mean, you have the stats. How many first-round QBs have actually delivered as franchise quarterbacks? I bet there's even as many that have gone in the later rounds. You know, you look at the situation here in San Francisco, you know, with Shanahan, who's supposed to be this wizard and quarterback, that knows everything about quarterbacks. And look at the situation he's had with drafting, giving up three first round draft choices. He still doesn't know what he's got with Trey Lance. And then, you know, you got Garoppolo, who is a godsend having come back to them. But beside all of that, the real key is they've got a seventh round guy that is actually delivering. He didn't even know it. He's got him in practice. This guy's supposed to be the know-it-all, and yet he doesn't even know what he's got. And I can't imagine anybody does going into the draft. So the only solution here that makes any sense is Brady, and one of your astute listeners kind of came through with you know, if he can bring the free agents that we need to buoy us during this period of time, I think that could work. That's the only thing that can work. Otherwise, we need to go back to the drawing board, and we're not a QB away. We've got a lot of pieces that we need to fill, and we should be all of us should be good at that. All right. Thanks, Q. Enjoy your podcast. Go Raider Nation. Take care.
Thank you so much for the call, my man. I appreciate you. Yeah, I mean, similar to what we were saying earlier with Jazzy Jeff in the Bay, there's a big what if and a big question mark when it comes to Trey Lance in San Francisco. I don't know. They've got so much going on in that situation with Trey Lance and Brock Purdy. And, you know, like I said before, Jimmy G's on his way out of there. But who knows, right? I mean, who knows how this whole situation shakes out? If I'm San Francisco, I don't want to give up this guy that I went and acquired for all those draft picks that they did. But if Brock Purdy gives you the same chance to win, then why wouldn't you roll with him as a seventh round draft pick, right? He's going to obviously be a lot cheaper, so then maybe Trey Lance, you move on from him. But is a team going to trade for him without knowing if he's any good? I mean, the other question is like a Jordan Love. Is a team going to trade for Jordan Love without really seeing too much from him? Or is Green Bay going to be comfortable moving forward with Jordan Love if Aaron Rodgers is traded, right? I mean, it's kind of the same scenario. That's why I hate to not have a real answer, but I feel like, you know, I feel like it's just a big unknown. So it sucks. It sucks to say it like that. I hate it. Believe me, I hate it more than anything. But, I mean, I kind of guess it is what it is at this point. But thank you for that call. I do appreciate you. Next up, and I just got a couple more. I got a text from Midwest Raider. It says, good morning, Raider Nation. Midwest Raider here. I wanted to chime in on the D.C. drama. And for the people saying D.C. didn't get done dirty, bogus. First thing is Raiders failed him by never getting him a defense. Also, they're really choosing Josh McDaniels over D.C., a guy that has bled silver and black for 9 years. In that article, Hondo recently released stated players like the consistency McDaniels has, but any player from the Broncos team he coached tells you otherwise. He doesn't know how to lead men. He is not a leader. And if a player doesn't respond well to your leadership style, you got to change it up to get the best results from your players. DC might have got paid, might have got a good situation with choosing his team, but if you don't see how this is a slap in the face to the franchise player that kept the Raiders competitive, you must not remember the quarterbacks before him, because it's not easy to find your guy. If the Raiders do find the right guy, all is forgiven, but with McDaniels as a coach, I don't think it really matters. Sorry for the rant, but DC should have got another year to run it back. I truly believe the working relationship just wasn't there, and agree, maybe it's just what's best for both sides. If DC wins a ship before the Raiders, I think it'll go down as one of the biggest blunders a franchise has ever made. Anyways, go Raiders. That's from Midwest Raider. And look, the situation is, you know, you're never going to get everyone to be on the same page. There's always going to be a group of people that are going to be angry one way, happy another way. It's just no one's ever going to agree on this situation. And unfortunately, even once, you know, the organization moves on from DC and he finds his new home, whatever he does, good or bad, is always going to keep being brought up. I mean, it's crazy, but that's just how it is. I've said it multiple times. I wish him nothing but the best. I appreciate everything he did. And believe me, I remember all the quarterbacks. I've gone through it multiple times, all the quarterbacks between Gannon and Derek Carr. And I talk about all the time how much he stabilized the position. But what I've learned, and what I'm trying to continue to learn, is no matter what I say or no matter what anyone else says, people will always hear what they want to hear and will always find some kind of disrespect in it, in the tone, in the message, whatever the case is. So I'm not going to say anything at all, because it's just going to end up coming out and someone's going to be offended by it. So I'm just going to leave it alone. It was a great 9-year. It was a good 9-year run. I don't want to say great. Great would have been a championship. It was a good 9-year run. And like I said, definitely appreciate everything that Derek brought to the table. And at some point, you know, the two decide to move on, and he's going to go on and probably be in a better situation like Stafford was when he left Detroit and went to the Rams, and the Raiders will go on and hope that their situation is better. And only time will tell. So thank you so much for that. I do appreciate you. Next up and last is G Fights in Virginia. He's calling to talk about Friday's show as we close things out. Here he is, G Fights in Virginia.
Hey, Q. This is the first time caller here. This is G Fights from VA. And I'm going to make this short, man. I'm sitting in my car at my daughter's school in this car ride line waiting for school to let out. And I'm listening to the podcast, and I have to really give you credit. I have to applaud you for not breaking down, because I'm listening to your story. I'm listening to your testimony. I'm listening to your truth. I'm listening to you and you got through it without a hitch. You got through it without breaking down. You know, your voice didn't crack at all. And I'm just getting emotional just even talking about it. It's unfortunate that your son passed away so young, at a young age, at an early age. And it wasn't that long ago. It was just 3 years ago. And you got through this episode with no problems. I'm quite sure you struggled at times, you know, before or after. But during this episode, you kept it professional. And I salute you. And just keep doing your thank you.
Thank you so much for the call, my man. And, you know, that was probably like my third or fourth run at it when it comes to talking about the show. I really did. I did it multiple times. I did it, then I walked away, then I redid it, then I walked away, then I redid it. It was so many different messages as far as like stories that I could tell and directions and length. And I didn't want it to be too long. I didn't want it to be too short. It's wild. But I was trying to make it make sense and make it make sense to the situation that has with the Raiders as well. So trying to make everything, you know, kind of blend together. And it's obviously not that easy either. But again, like I said multiple times on today's show, if someone took away a good message from it and appreciated the call or the show, then I definitely, you know, feel like all is good. It was well worth it. So glad that you appreciate it. Like I said, there was plenty of people that had calls and texts that didn't get on the show that were showing a lot of love to Friday's show as well. So thank you so much. Definitely appreciate it. All the thoughts and prayers and love and everything was felt, believe me, all weekend long. So I definitely appreciate that. Coming up tomorrow, we'll continue our conversations. We'll talk about the quarterbacks. We'll talk about the defense. We'll talk about the offensive line. Got to talk about the offensive line, because that needs to continue to be improved as well. The Raiders are going to have to be really, really busy this offseason. We'll get back to more calls and texts. We'll have plenty to come to, or we'll have plenty for you on this show, I should say, coming up tomorrow. So until then, Raider Nation, take care of yourself, take care of your family, love on your family. Just important, and most importantly, as always, just win, baby.